Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time. For today's podcast, we rewatched season 2, episode number 4, titled The Travelers, and we are here to break it all down with the full knowledge that we have through the end of Dark season 2. I'm Zach Brooks, and I am joined by the Adam to my Jonas, Aaron Brooks.
Hello.
Good afternoon, once again.
Yeah, hello. You're the older version of me, but I'm the younger, or I guess I'm the older version of you.
In this weird loop.
But you're my older brother. There's a very, well, that could be the case. But does Jonas have an older brother?
No, not Jonas is only a child.
Not that we know of.
Yeah. I had lots of observations for this episode. So before we get into those, I just want to remind people that we are going through every episode of Dark through the end of season 2, leading up to the third and final season's release next Saturday, just 8 days away from now on June 27th. Then once that comes out, we'll be releasing episodes on each episode of season 3 without any future knowledge. So those will be full recap episodes that we will be digesting Dark. And don't miss an episode of this podcast because we are releasing them pretty regularly. So you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple, Google, Spotify, Player.fm, which is my personal preference. Or you can subscribe on YouTube, which is Aaron's personal preference. Just look up Digesting Dark on any of those platforms and subscribe. Leave comments. We're compiling feedback to do a Q&A show before season 3 starts. Starting to compile some stuff for that, so definitely send us your feedback. Best ways on Twitter at BrooksZA and at Aaron JAY Brooks. That is all the housekeeping before we head into 1921 to talk about this episode.
Yep.
So, all right. So I had some big observations before we even start. The first is I am no longer out on the Adam is Jonas. Or, you know, I used to think that, like, oh, maybe that's not true. Like, Adam isn't Jonas. I am fully in on that. That's what's going on.
Yeah, at least from some world of Jonas.
Yeah, yes. He's got the neck scar. This Adam is Jonas. This isn't like some weird misdirect that I was like, oh, I don't know if I buy that. No, Adam is definitely Jonas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't think that was ever really too much of a doubt, but it's good to remember how it was revealed.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that when I couldn't remember what happens in the season very well, I was like, oh yeah, he just says he's Jonas. I forgot he like actually shows like physical evidence that he's Jonas. So
yep.
Yeah, it would just be too weird if it was like, oh yeah, Bartos also has the same neck scar. Yeah, I don't like that. So the next one is, this was episode 4, and we got the Adam is Jonas reveal. And I'm looking back through my notes right now. I believe season 1, episode 4, was when we got the Mikkel and Michael reveal.
Okay. So, yep. Definitely mirror each other.
That was the episode Double Lives. You know what? Maybe that was... Nope. I think that was episode 5. Yep, never mind. Ah,
almost.
I was so excited about that theory, I didn't even do anything to check it. So, but I do think the reveal of Adam being Jonas, Michael being Mikkel, I think there's gonna be more of those as we get along, that it's somebody with a different name that is going to be revealed to be the same person.
Maybe
in season 4 or in season 3 it'll be Bartos's caveman.
Yeah, it could be.
So and then the third thing, which we will definitely talk about when we get to this, when we start talking about this, is that the church, I've been trying to figure out where the church would be in the present timeline, the church where Jonas has his, or where Adam has his lair and hideout, headquarters, whatever you want to call it. So I'm pretty sure that where the church is now in 1921 is now where the power plant is.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
Yeah, and like symbolically, I really like that because they, in 1953, when they're building the power plant, they would have had to destroy the church to build up the power plant. So like the destruction of God for the creation of science symbolically makes a lot of sense.
Definitely.
So yeah, I wasn't sure if originally I thought it might be one of the houses, but then when they go down the elevator in this episode all the way down to the caves, I was like, oh, okay. So they're right above the caves. So this is where the power plant is. Mm-hmm. It could be that it's the cabin where the bunker is as well. But I believe we see the bunker in 1921. I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Those were my big things that I came to when I watched this first thing in the morning this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a good takeaway. Right away when it, I guess if we can jump into the opening with Jonas and falling into a field, right away kind of one of my revelations was that there was a reason that Elizabeth, was it Elizabeth who ended up shooting him in the leg?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a reason Elizabeth shot him in the leg.
Oh. Is that so that he would get found by these people and get taken to Noah?
Yeah, because they bring up multiple times how Erna brings in stray dogs. Mm-hmm. So they knew that this injured boy, right away they're like, let's take him to Erna. Erna will take care of him. Young Noah also mentions how Erna takes in stray dogs. So maybe in a way Elizabeth is using Jonas as a pawn, or Elizabeth was a pawn by choosing to shoot Jonas in the leg because it's set up meeting young Noah and going to Erna's.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, that would make sense because Elizabeth is going to be married to Noah. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, I believe it, yeah. Like, they're going to father a child together, or parent a child together. So this version of Elizabeth, the older version of Elizabeth, would have probably heard about this from Noah and know that this is a cycle that needs to keep completing, especially because Noah in the first season tells the story about the stranger who arrives at his parents' house and is saying things in his sleep. Now, you know, I was thinking about that, and I don't know for sure if this is Jonas that he was referring to, or at least this version of Jonas, because at this point, Noah already knows Adam and knows adult Noah. So it would probably make more sense that the person he's referring to that shows up at the house was maybe Adam or older Noah or the caveman guy, but wasn't this version of Jonas.
I'm not sure.
I was trying to think back to the story that Noah told Helge in season one. And, you know, I know he said that the man had the room next to his and he would hear him late at night talking in his sleep. So it's similar to what we get with Jonas in this, but I don't think it's the same person.
Yep.
So Jonas wakes up in the field. He buries his clothes. He's still shot, as you said. He's found by two farmers, and they mention that Erna loves stray dogs. They take him to Erna's house. Now, I remembered that we went to 1921, but when I was watching this, I almost was like, did they go back further than 1921 for this episode? Because it doesn't look like the 1920s to me. It looks like the 1800s.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's post-war Germany, so yeah. It might be part of it.
Yeah, I think they refer to the war a couple times, so yes. I think that's kind of it.
Yeah, because there's just no cars or anything. And like the town, if you look at the town in 1921 versus the town in 1954, it's like huge changes over 30 years to Winden. Like,
yeah, well, you make a good point about there being no cars there.
Yeah.
Because again, of theory, I continue to hold this, that there's a reason why Clausen doesn't have a driver's license. And it's because maybe in his universe, ooh, cars don't exist.
Or he's from 1921, and they never taught him how to drive in 1921.
Yeah, or the alternate 1921 doesn't have cars. The alternate world doesn't have cars, or alternate 1921 doesn't.
Because we see a horse-drawn carriage pulling a casket that they go by. And everything's a dirt road. You know, he's taken to a house. We do see a child sitting on the stoop. I kind of forgot that this happened, but that child is Agnes. And they even say, Agnes, go get your brother. So they're really letting you know, like, this is also Noah's house. Noah, this is Agnes, and her brother is Noah. They're asking him about the wars. He's eating chili or some sort of soup. Looked pretty good. And he said he was he clearly didn't know what year he was in, so he didn't know what war he was talking about, like if it was World War One or World War Two or another war. So he just said Eastern Front, which that was a good improv by Jonas.
Yeah, good cover.
Yeah. So we realize that we're in Erna. We can add Erna to our character chart. Erna is the I'm assuming the mother of Agnes and Jonah, although it could just be like an orphanage type thing where she just takes people in.
Yep.
I guess we don't know. No, if she takes in stray dogs, Noah could have been one of those stray dogs.
Yeah, I don't think Erna's the mother.
Yeah. It's a weird name, Erna. So then we get the kaleidoscope intro. I noticed in this one, I tried to pay attention a little bit more to it. I did notice one of the shots was Trante taking off his underwear from the last episode. So I do not remember that being in the intro. At some point, we're going to have to look at that, see how much it changes. But then we're in. Yeah. What about it?
there's definitely subtle changes and things added and taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to pay more attention to it. Then we open in the present. It is June 24th, 2020. So it is 3 days before the apocalypse. Of course, we have 4 episodes left with 3 days till the apocalypse. That's because one of the 4 remaining episodes is going to be that flashback one where we go to the day before Michael is dead. And we once again have a dream of Martha and Jonas having sex and the same lines as before. I didn't notice any changes to the lines. We are so perfect for each other. Don't let anybody tell you anything differently.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's just, again, that the perfect match thing.
And it's interesting that Jonas and Martha have the exact same nightmare. Or I guess it's they wake up to it like it's a nightmare. It doesn't seem like a nightmare to me. And so there's something kind of cosmically telling them this. And Martha pops out of bed, you know, just like Jonas did in an earlier episode. I believe the Stranger will wake up to this dream. Maybe in the finale he wakes up to this dream. It happens a couple times during the show.
Yeah.
So then we see Clausen, your boy who can't drive. He's looking at a picture of the Stranger, and Waller comes in to let him know that Charlotte has called in sick and will not be coming into work.
Yep.
We're going to get a lot of Clausen and Waller in this episode doing a lot of investigating in the 2020 timeline.
Yep.
Charlotte is not sick, though. She is hanging out at HG's headquarters, HG's store, looking through different blueprints and maps. She does find the blueprint to the machine. And I believe that's the only thing of note that she really finds when she's in there.
Yeah, they show. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we go to the Conwald house. The Stranger wakes up. He seemed to be pretty much made himself at home. He just wakes up, pours himself a glass of milk, just looking at the newspaper, having some breakfast. And he does find Hannah apparently left the box with the gun out. So the gun and the passport, he finds that, and he's confronting Hannah about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. The Stranger, through all of his travels over 33 years, doesn't know the stuff about Alexander Tiedemann, doesn't know about his other identity.
Yeah, it seems a couple people are surprised about Alexander Tiedemann. Claudia later in the episode too, when she finds out that he's the one who's running the plant.
Oh, good point. Yeah, we're definitely getting more Alexander in this episode.
Yeah.
Then the last house that we see in the 2020 timeline is Martha and Magnus. They are talking. Apparently their parents, in addition to Ulrich being gone, Katarina is just MIA as well. They never see her anymore.
Yeah, the house is like clearly out of order. Like, it's really messy. There's like trash like on the ground. Like, it's clearly it's the kids there.
Right.
Then when the Doppler kids come in, they talk about how their parents haven't been home for 2 days.
Yep. So Francisca and Elizabeth, they show up, and Francisca says that she's even with Magnus. And yes, as you said, they're talking about how their parents aren't around. So almost like a reflection, right? We've got the two Doppler kids and the two Nielsen kids, and neither of them have any parents that are around. Their parents are all preoccupied with something because of this time travel in some form.
Yep, and then Magnus leads them to the cave.
Yeah, so they're saying, why is everybody so weird? And then Magnus has the idea that we are going to go to the caves. We're going to figure out what this is. This reminds me of like an 80s adventure movie. I just watched like The Goonies, and that's kind of what this reminds me of. Like, kids are left on their own, and they decide they're going to go explore.
Yeah.
And we're going to get them eventually going to the 80s in a couple episodes, I believe. And then that really will be like a Goonies episode or a Goonies homage. Right? Does that?
Yeah. Happen?
Do they go to the
80s? I don't. I think we'll see.
We'll see. They do get the machine in this episode. For some reason, I remember the 4 kids traveling through time, but maybe I'm misremembering that. Because Katarina is going to travel, I know. Hannah is going to travel. I just don't remember if the kids do in this episode. It might be at the end of the season that they time travel.
Yeah, I think it shows them, but not where they
go. Yeah, at the end of the season, they time travel with the Stranger to avoid the apocalypse.
Yeah.
All of them except Elizabeth that's left behind. So, yeah, we'll see when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are back in 1921. So this episode, I believe we are only getting 2020 and 1921, that 99-year time difference, 3 cycles apart. And Jonas wakes up. Noah is just watching him. Noah says that Jonas has been sleeping for 24 hours. So I thought this was an interesting line to have in there, because that shows that, you know, for the most part, we're seeing stuff as it's happening. You know, when it's June 24th in 2020, it's also June 24th in 1921. But I think that this whole cold open actually happened the day before, and then he slept for 24 hours, which the reason why that works is because Jonas left 2 days ago. So Jonas left on June 22nd of the future of 2053, and then he landed in June 22nd, and then he slept for a day. So it kind of accounts for that episode where we didn't check in with Jonas. The cold open of this episode was essentially what Jonas was doing in that episode.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Only something I would really care about, but then Noah says, at first I pictured you differently. So obviously referring to the fact that Noah has met an older version of Jonas, and also has been told that the younger version of Jonas will be coming to his house at some point. Mm-hmm. I noticed that this room looks a lot like Jonas's bedroom.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I thought
you think it's the same house?
So. I thought it was the same house.
So if it's Erna's house, eventually it needs to become Daniel Conwald's house. So I guess maybe Daniel Conwald could be one of the farmers, could be somehow related to Erna.
Could be a stray dog that Erna brings in.
Right. And then Mikkel is like a stray dog that Enos brings in. Really?
Yep.
And Erna and Enos are, I feel like those names are similar. I'm not sure why exactly, but they just seem
similar. If she's a Conwald, I mean, Erna to Daniel to Enos.
Yeah. So if Erna is a Conwald, that would make Noah and Agnes also Conwalds, which would connect those families even more so than they already are. Mm-hmm. So I think that would make sense. Because that room really looks like Jonas's room.
Yeah, I thought that, I had that noted too.
Noah brings up Sigmundus and says that he's going to take him to Sigmundus. Right? I don't know if he's going to take him, but he mentions Sigmundus.
Yeah, he brings up Sigmundus. Jonas sees the Sigmundus poster on the wall.
Oh, that might have been why I wrote that down. Yeah, because I just wrote Sigmundus. Yeah, that's probably that he sees the Sigmundus poster. And then Jonas grabs his stuff and goes to leave, and Agnes watches him leave. So that's the last I believe we're going to see of Agnes in this episode. But what we got of her, I feel like, was pretty meaty stuff. Like, we're definitely seeing
her. And then showed her like sweeping, which I think is symbolic for maybe sweeping the truth.
Oh yeah, they did show her sweeping. Was that during the scene, or was that later?
When she sees Jonas leaving, yeah. Hmm. So it's, I think it's got to be symbolic for like sweeping the truth under. That, you know, underneath the rug, or so to speak, or something like that. They really focused on it.
Yeah, that's true. Or she's cleaning up her brother's mess.
Yeah, so it's something, but they focused on the sweeping for like a pretty solid couple frames.
We did see Regina cleaning the hotel as well in season one, and that's how she discovers the stranger. So,
yeah.
I can't remember people cleaning in other parts of this show, but. There could be other times when that happens. So, all right. Then we are in
Clausen.
Yeah, in 2020, Claudia is walking into the plant in 2020, and then we see Alexander talking into the power plant. Or I have Charlotte goes to the power plant in 2020, but Alexander is talking to Clausen in this scene, and he's being investigated by Clausen. I do remember that it turns out in this season that Clausen's brother disappeared when he was younger, and he has the same name that Alexander takes. I think his name was Alexander Kohler,
I believe. Yeah, and well, we learn about that in this scene, you can tell, because when they're going through it, yeah, Clausen asks about the door to the cave.
Mm-hmm. Which Alexander built in the 80s with Claudia.
Mm-hmm. And then Alexander talks about how he sealed it. Mm-hmm. Or how it was sealed. He didn't say he did it. Clausen just starts kind of walking around, like opening up his laptop, like really making him feel like he is exposed, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's basically like, everyone born here stays here except you. You showed up right after Mads disappeared. And then the Alexander with the really weird correction of, I showed up a few weeks later.
Right, yeah.
Like, just like kind of a weird.
But it's also true. He did show up a few weeks later. He didn't show up right when Mads disappeared.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, it just kind of either way, like, you know, seems a little interesting. But then Alexander said that he took the Tiedemann name because it shaped Winden, especially Claudia.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
And because there wasn't a male heir to the Tiedemann name, it was not going to get passed on if he did it.
Regina had no siblings, which, you know, kind of seems like a convenient excuse to do it. And then when he tells Clausen his real name, Clausen stares at him, definitely. Like, he gets, like...
He knows, yeah, that name Alexander Kohler means something to Clausen.
He stares at him.
And we do find that out by the end of the season. I believe it's his brother is what the connection is there.
Yeah, but we still don't know the full story behind it.
Well, because if his brother's name is Alexander Kohler, why is his name Clausen?
Yeah.
Unless his first name is Clausen, unless his name is Clausen Kohler.
Yeah.
And I do think at the beginning of the scene, I do think that we see it is Claudia. I think I wrote down in my notes Charlotte, but I meant Claudia shows up at the plant. And I believe this is when she's asking who's running the plant. And they say Alexander Tiedemann runs the plant. And she looks very confused. So I believe that was this scene, although it might have happened later. But I believe this is when we're first seeing Claudia walking around with the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and Clausen is making himself very at home. Like you said, he's opening up the laptop. He's sitting at Alexander's desk, like not the way you would act if you didn't want to show that you had dominance over somebody.
Yeah.
So, and then Alexander asks, who's next on your list? And or maybe it was Waller that asked that, but Clausen says that the next person on the list is Hannah.
Mm-hmm. And he wanted him to say it in front of Alexander.
Oh, they do say it in front of Alexander. Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. So Alexander's like, shit, the woman who is already blackmailing me.
Great. Right, and knows my information. So, so then we go right from that scene with Alexander to the stranger asking Hannah about the passport and what the gun is for. And, you know, she just tells him that it's information, and he points out that it's blackmail. But I don't think she doesn't tell him who it actually belongs to. And before they can finish their conversation, Charlotte arrives at the house and Hannah introduces him to the stranger. So, you know, that finally that connection, Charlotte already kind of knows about this time travel, but now she's meeting an actual traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte points out that she recognizes him from the hotel and is asking him about the Sigmundes photo. And he says they are the travelers. So that photo, she's very interested in Noah, who's obviously going to be her father / son-in-law. But, you know, if you look at the photo, you get a better look at it in this episode. You can see Magnus is towards the front and Adam is front and center in that photo.
Yep.
I don't know who else is. I'm assuming Francisca's in there. I would imagine we're going to know who everybody in that photo is. You know, probably one of the people is the caveman guy. Probably Agnes is in that photo, I would imagine. Probably not Claudia. So I think through season three, we're going to get that photo revealed more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get some oppressive music for the kids are going to the caves. They are led by a flashlight. I always like to see how people are led through things, what light they're using. So they're using just a regular flashlight to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to the library. The first time we've seen the Winden Library, I believe.
So yeah.
The small town has a very nice library.
Mm.
One of the things I miss about COVID being having everything closed is I miss going to the library. You can get Blu-rays there for free. It's great.
And books.
Yeah. Everything's digital too. Claudia is asking where she can find out about the town's history. And I like this scene. I love the like fish out of water time traveler stuff. And it doesn't happen that much in this show, but you know, it's like right out of Back to the Future. And he says, they're all digital. And she says, where can I find that? Like, what is digital? What does that mean? Because that word doesn't mean anything to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she sits down at even more modern than what, you know, our library here has. We just have we just have computers. But this library, it's like all iPads. And she has no idea how to turn it on or how to use it. And it's I just love this scene. It's like a little bit of levity in this show that has very little levity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a really interesting scene.
Yeah, the girl
eventually
behind
she gets it figured out.
Right. Well, the girl behind her helps her. Do we think that girl behind her is like a, you know, a time traveler who's guiding.
Probably just a person in the library.
Just an extra, yeah. And I thought it was interesting the order that she starts looking things up. So during this scene, we see her look up her own name. So before she looks up any of her family members, she looks up herself. And she sees an article that says that she disappeared. So I'm assuming that article is from, you know, a couple days after, probably June 28th, sometime in June of the 1987 timeline.
Yeah, I think it... Oh, sorry. I think it did say 87.
Okay. I didn't see what month it is, but we know that Claudia is going to go back to the 80s and try to prevent Egon, but she might disappear shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, that's if you think about that, too, if Regina's mother just disappears, it would make sense that Regina, the only person she really has, her grandfather is dead, that Alexander is the only person she has. So it's kind of like why they get together is because she doesn't have anybody left.
Yeah, good point.
Then we get Waller and Clausen. They're talking about Hannah. And Waller offers up some pretty interesting information, as does Clausen. Waller is saying that it's strange that Hannah ended up with Michael because she could have had anybody she wanted, and she ended up with this weird guy, Michael.
This continues my theory that she knew from the beginning what she was doing, and it's all just to punish Ulrich.
Mm.
That is her ultimate. She's obsessed with him in love and hate, and she knew... And yeah, exactly. Like,
well, if her goal is to punish Ulrich, being with Egon Tiedemann could be one way to do that.
I mean, she wants to punish him on every level. So being with his son, who traveled back through time, is one way to do it. Being with Egon is going to be another way she does it. She's having Alexander help her is another angle. Every angle is to go at Ulrich for Hannah, including probably the stranger, everything. So. Mm-hmm. That's why she uses the blackmail. Hannah is obsessed with Ulrich.
Definitely, always. Yeah.
Always.
And speaking of obsession, Clausen seems like he is obsessed with somebody too, because he says that he volunteered for the position to come to Winden and investigate this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because he has some beef to settle with Alexander Tiedemann.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting they put someone with no license on the task force.
Right, exactly. And like, we don't even know who his boss is, who he reports to. Like, we never see him having any accountability. So, you know, maybe he was a time traveler and just said he was the one who was sent there.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is.
Or maybe he did what Alexander did, and he's a traveler, and he stole the identity of the actual Inspector Clausen.
That also could be it.
Yeah. That would be a good mirroring of Alexander Tiedemann. If he took the identity of the inspector in order to punish Alexander. So did the exact same thing as Alexander, much like Ulrich did the exact same thing as the people who took Mikkel to Helge. And we see that mirroring happen quite a bit in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the bunker with Hannah and Jonas are there. I love how the bunker is turned into like the True Detective. They have all the different plot threads together, and it's just like the area where they're doing all the investigating. So the bunker, which once was used to time travel kids and has been used for many other purposes, is now being used as like the detective hideout where they're doing this investigation into time travel.
Yeah.
Peter tells us some information about what we saw in season one. He said Claudia was the one telling him and Tronte what to do, and she had a book that spelled out all the dates when the kids were going to disappear and show back up. And they had all this information, and she was, you know, she was always right about what was going on, except there are pages missing at the back of the book.
Every single one of these, like, information, they're incomplete.
Yep.
It seems.
And Hannah has the idea that she wants to tell Katarina about everything.
Of course she does, because she wants to ruin Ulrich by making another person close to Ulrich crazy.
Yep.
It's not, and she knows she won't believe it, and if she does believe it, it'll drive her crazy.
Mm-hmm. Which is what happens. So then we go back to Claudia in the library. Now she looks up stories about Regina. So she looked up herself first, then she looked up her daughter. And the stuff about her daughter that she finds, I feel like it was just that, like, she had the hotel, and
she finds out Alexander's running the power plant.
Yeah, and Alexander's running the power plant. Yep.
Which like, I think Alexander Tiedemann.
I think, didn't she find that out from the security guard, too, earlier in the episode as well?
I think maybe they they said Mr. T. I don't know how they said, but I think when she reads Alexander Tiedemann, it's shocking to her.
What it might have been is that she's told Alexander Tiedemann runs the power plant. And mm-hmm. she's like, well, that doesn't make sense because there is no Alexander Tiedemann. And then she sees the news article and sees the picture of him and realizes who Alexander Tiedemann is.
That could be, yeah.
That, like, this guy that she hired to work at the power plant took her job and married her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looks up the story about Egon. Of course, this is the story that's going to kind of change her trajectory for the rest of the season, that he is found dead on June 26, 1987.
Yep.
So that's going to happen in the penultimate episode of this season. And we did have somebody who brought up, they tweeted at us about the podcast, and they said that they were, they said season 2, episode 6 is the best episode of Dark. And I didn't want to look up what episode 6 was, but now having watched this and knowing that June 26th is, I think it's episode 7. I believe episode 6 is the episode where Jonas goes back and talks to Michael before he kills himself.
That would make sense.
So, because episode 5 is the next one. That's when we get a bunch of Adam and Jonas. By the end of the episode, I think Adam is going to convince Jonas to go back in time. Then we get the Michael, episode 6 will be the Michael and Jonas episode. And then episode 7 is the one where Egon is going to die, because that's going to take place on June 26th, 1987.
Yep.
So, everything's coming back together now. So then we go back to the 1921 timeline. Jonas is in the forest. He is using a lantern to light himself. So we've seen matches. We've seen a lighter. We've seen different kinds of flashlights. And now we are seeing like an old school lantern. And he's going into the caves. And at the same time, 99 years later, Martha and the other kid adventurers are also in the caves. And they're talking about their dreams. Then we see Charlotte. She's gone to pick up Katarina, and Katarina says that she says, you must have found them. That would be why you're picking me up. Charlotte doesn't want to tell her until everybody's there, but finally she says, you know, a little bit of information. She says they're alive, but they're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And they lead her into the bunker, and she's very confused by everything. And they say to her, I thought it was interesting the way that they described it. They said that they found a tear in the fabric of time.
Yeah, definitely.
That's an interesting way to describe what...
That's what it looked like when Peter sees it in the bunker.
Oh, that's yeah, like when the portal, yeah.
Yeah, it's like tearing, so...
Mm-hmm. And I also like that Katarina accuses Jonas of being Hannah's new boy toy.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great line from Katarina. Good Katarina in this episode overall, I thought.
Yeah, she was strong.
Yeah, and so she says, he tells her, actually, I'm your grandson, which is just like such a, like, it's just so weird on so many levels.
Yeah, and all she can do is just kind of laugh. And
yeah, exactly, which is, I feel like what I would do if somebody said to me,
just cracking.
An older version of my daughter's boyfriend said, I'm your grandson. It would just mm-hmm. really, like, it would hurt my brain so much, more than the show already does.
Yeah, I agree.
I noted in this scene that we have almost every family line represented. So we have the Conwalds, we have the Nielsens, and we have the Doppler family. We do not have any Tiedemanns that we know of in this bunker meeting. But then I was trying to think if we've ever had any scenes where we have all four family lines present, or represented from all four family lines present at the same time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you think of any?
I mean, there could be something with the kids where we have Bartos. If we had a scene where there was Bartos, Magnus and Martha, Jonas and Elizabeth and Francisca, which I guess would be actually when Mikkel disappears, there are kids from all four families there.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if we ever see it with any of the parents. If we ever see Regina, Charlotte, Hannah and Katarina and Ulrich all together at the same time.
Mm.
I don't know. We go to the caves, speaking of Bartos and the caves, the kids are there and they're investigating, they're looking around, and out walks Bartos carrying the suitcase. And we've no idea where Bartos is coming from or going to. We know he's working with Noah, so he's doing whatever Noah told him to do. And could it be that he's just a pawn and Noah told him to go to the caves at this specific time because he knew the kids would find him and would find this suitcase, would take the suitcase.
Yeah, he needed the kids to get the suitcase. So I think Bartos is just a pawn to a pawn.
And is this when they start beating up Bartos, or is that later? I think that is the scene, right?
Yeah, it's the scene.
Yeah. Kind of harsh, I feel like. Like,
Demons get beat up.
Yeah.
Happens with a lot of demons. Regina, it happens with.
Yeah. Yeah, and if only they knew the history between their families, that Egon and Ulrich have this history together. Mm-hmm. So, and then we see Katarina is learning about the time, learning about like the time loops and time travel from everybody in the bunker. She asks Jonas what's in it for him, or she asks the stranger what's in it for him. Then we flash back to 1921. Jonas is in the caves. He sees the snake eating its own tail, door handle. He sees the door, and he's like, all right, great. I found the door. I'm ready to start traveling. He goes to open the door, and what do you know? The tunnel has not been built yet. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. He's stuck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And another good – I thought this was a great shot where they pull back, and you can just see that he's, like, trapped in this tunnel, and there's nowhere for him to go. So – then right from there, you know, it's great. We're getting back-to-back scenes in the caves in different timelines. So then, in the 2020 timeline, we get everything from Elizabeth's perspective. So she hears the yelling muffled, and they're beating up Bartos. They take the machine from him and they open up the machine. And they don't get, I wasn't sure if they were going to get the machine working or not, but they don't get the machine working, but they definitely like open it and can see like this weird thing that he's got. Magnus tells Bartos that if they see him in there again, they'll kill him, which again I thought was a little extreme for Magnus.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So they take his machine. Bartos is stuck on the ground. Was he tied up? Like, why didn't he move? Why didn't he get up and try to stop them and do anything?
I think he just kind of, it's his character, kind just, of.
Yeah.
A little bit pathetic.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, did they take the time to tie him up, beat him up, and then steal his machine? Like, I don't know. I know things didn't end that great with between him and Martha, but that's a little extreme.
Yeah. He could have very well been told this was going to happen, too. Mm-hmm. It's
like, oh, that's true. Yeah. Like, you're going to get beat up, and you need to let them take the machine. Don't try to stop them.
Yeah.
Then we get a scene in the car. Waller is driving Clausen around because Clausen cannot drive. And they're talking about the town. And this is a scene that I remembered from this episode I liked. Clausen asked Waller how he lost his eye. And just as he's about to tell him, he says, he gets out the words last summer before they almost hit Claudia with the car.
Yep.
So
it's going to be nothing.
It definitely Fury. Happened right before this. It better be better than Nick Fury. It happened last summer, which is kind of what I said when I noticed that in season one he has a bandage and in season two he's got like a more permanent eye patch.
Yep, new injury. You're right.
Yep, so good job on me. And then I have written down, you can't tell anyone. Was that that Waller says that to Clausen about almost hitting Claudia?
I think so.
Okay, so secrets between them.
Yep, secrets.
So then we get Katarina going into the school. Grave music is playing. And she goes into the teacher's lounge and she looks up the school records and sees that Mikkel was in class 6B, sees a picture of Mikkel and realizes it is true. Mikkel was in the 1987 class photo for 6B.
So, was in front of him the entire time.
Yep. Yeah. They just never opened their eyes to realize it. How many times did she see pictures and just never realize that he was in it?
Mm-hmm.
And was it 6B last year when we noticed this too? Because I know
it was 6B.
Okay. I remember you brought it up and you said it was, I couldn't remember if it was 6A or 6B. So
no, it was B.
Yep. Potentially because of the other the other timeline.
Yeah. Or it's just maybe like an Easter egg clue for it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's probably just that there's multiple sixth grade classes. Even though it's a small town. Well, the small town has a great library, a big hospital, a hotel, a power plant. So.
And a big, big kindergarten class
and like four important families and nobody.
There's AM and PM.
Yeah, and you know, four families that are important and a whole bunch of other people who aren't important.
Yeah, an occasional other person that shows up.
Yep. So then in the 1921 timeline, Jonas walks out of the cave. He is greeted by Noah, the young version of Noah. And Noah tells him it'll be 32 years before the tunnel opens. So the tunnel is going to open in 1952, which is the year that we saw Ulrich end up in the last season. So we don't really know what caused the tunnel to open. It might have just been Sigmundus was building it, and it took them 32 years to finish it. Or maybe it was when they're digging for the power plant that's what creates it. We still don't know exactly what created the tunnel in 52.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a lot of things we don't know what creates it or ends it. Mm-hmm. So,
and Noah was... So Noah is eating an apple in this scene when he's talking to Jonas, much like we see older Noah eating an apple outside the cave when he's talking to Mikkel an episode or two before. So
the forbidden fruit. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it might just be a motif, but it's doing the exact same thing in the exact same spot. Just a younger version of Noah is talking to Mikkel's child, and then an older version of Noah is talking to Mikkel. Mm-hmm. Both times when they try to escape through the tunnel. Wasn't because Mikkel ran to the tunnel, right? And was trying to escape and then realized he couldn't. Did Noah stop him from going in there? It might have been Noah stopped him from going in there. But either way, they're trying to escape back to their present timeline, and Noah is stopping them from doing so.
Yeah, and keeping all the stones where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And Noah tells Jonas that they are waiting for you. He says, "Who?" And Noah says, "Sigmundus. The travelers say you want to get home." So more talk of Sigmundus and the travelers.
Yeah, he says earlier he just wants to get back.
Yep. So in the bunker, Jonas says that he is here because Adam said that this would be the loophole. And then the last cycle is going to begin in 3 days. They look at a picture of older Claudia, white devil version of Claudia. And they said to stop the last cycle. And in the end, she became what she was fighting against. So the snake eats its own tail. In 1987, we get Claudia exiting the cave. And then before we can see much more of the 80s, we see we go back to the 20s. So I guess we do get Claudia exiting in 87, but I don't know if we get anything else, really. I guess we see her and her daughter. We see Regina at the end. So then at the church, we have Noah and Jonas. They're talking at the church. Younger Noah says that he is not yet a traveler. And then the door opens. And I couldn't remember if it was going to be Adam or Noah that walked out, but it was older Noah who walks out. And he references his last encounter with Jonas. So I was trying to remember what the last encounter they had was.
Yeah, it wasn't when he stopped him from seeing Mikkel, right?
No, because that was the stranger who stopped him from seeing Mikkel.
Oh, right, older, not right.
Yeah, it was in the hospital.
When Helge is behind the...
Right, yeah, I think that's the last time he saw Noah. Maybe he saw him when he was in the bunker.
Yeah, when they bait him in.
Yeah. So then we see Kat, she's looking at her family, the family photo of all of them, Katarina. And I noticed definitely this family photo looked happy.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe what we're seeing is the family photos through people's eyes, like how they see it. So Katarina is seeing this photo of her family before they had all lost their innocence and realized the truth. And in her eyes, when they took this photo, they were all so happy. And that's why they all have smiles on their face. Because we're definitely seeing the photos change. They don't look the same.
That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my original theories was when they look happier, like the fortune for their family is going better, but that wouldn't be the case here. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Unless it's that everybody's where they're supposed to be and things are moving along the way they're supposed to.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
So, and then we're getting a montage here. So we see Katarina looking at the family photo. We see Francisca and Elizabeth together. We see Noah leading Jonas down to that elevator, that giant elevator, and then pulls the switch, which sends him down to the caves. We see Clausen with his investigative board, and he writes Kohler in big letters above the investigative board. We see the bunker crew all exiting the bunker. Jonas exits the elevator into the cave. We see Claudia returning home, and she sees her daughter sleeping. She sees Regina sleeping, and she just kind of sits and admires her and kind of tries to enjoy the time that she has with her, it seems like. And then we see Jonas entering the Sigmunda's headquarters. Young Noah is shut out. He's not allowed in yet. He's not yet made the reason why he should. And we see the 2053 timeline. We see future Scarface. She's walking around, and Elizabeth has the gun and is mad that she helped Jonas escape. She asks Scarface Scarface asks Elizabeth why she won't tell people what's really in there. And Scarface says it's part of God, which I thought was an interesting way to phrase it, because it is going to be referred to as the God particle. So it's almost like they reverse that word, part of and particle.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth says it is not God, it is the devil in there. Then we get Noah. He's asking about the prophecy. He's talking to Jonas about the prophecy. And Jonas is looking at that same photo that Elizabeth looks at, which is like the two gods blowing on the world. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the book. And he says, whoever wrote it had seen the past and the future. So I believe that's the Claudia book, the one that everybody uses to tell them when things are going to happen. I think that's the book they're talking about. And Noah lets Jonas know that Adam will send him on his way for the last cycle. So whatever Adam is going to send Jonas to do, it is to create the last cycle. And then we finally get this great ending scene between Adam and Jonas. I did notice Adam's art. So the one that we've seen close up where you can see all the souls escaping, when you see it from further away, it's almost like like one of those magic eye puzzles, or you know, I can't remember what they're called, but where you have like, you can see the little pictures, like a collage, and you can see the little pictures, and when you see it from further away, it looks like something else. And to me, it looks like a giant titan. So, you know, that art is, you know, really what it is it's like a giant god or a titan that is made up of all these souls escaping. I don't know if you noticed that art at all.
I didn't notice that aspect of it, but I'll go back and look at it. That makes sense.
Yeah, because you can see it from far away when he's talking to Jonas. And Adam says that time travel leaves a mark, which, of course, we have seen with Helge. Well, I guess it didn't happen to Helge, but it did happen to all the kids who left. Their eyes got burnt out. And obviously, if this version of Jonas has traveled in time a ton, it scarred him, and that's why Adam looks the way he does. Adam says, shall we begin? And then Adam says, it will end. And upon closer inspection, everything ends. Jonas asks him, who are you? And Adam says, can't you see it already? And instead of saying something corny like, I am you, or you are me, we're not too different, you and I, Adam removes his collar, which he has like a turtleneck on. He removes his collar, and it reveals the scar across his neck. And he says, every stone is back where it belongs. It just needs a push. And Jonas has a look in his eyes like he has realized that this scarred and disfigured man is a future version of himself.
Yep.
And that is how we close out episode number 4, The Travelers.
Yeah, great episode.
Yep. In season 2, the episodes, there's just like, they're so dense, so much happens in them that I feel like it was hard for me to remember everything that happened, which in season 1, I feel like the individual episodes stand out a little bit more. In this one, there's just like so much crammed into that hour. So,
yeah.
Did you have any other observations or notes from this one that we didn't get to?
No. I think that a lot of the aspects that don't make sense this season are still yet to kind of be filled in for next season. So I think that's kind of okay. But yeah, so these next few episodes are some of my favorites, just because there is so much that happens So I'm looking forward to kind of slowing down and being able to digest what really, really happens in them, because I'm still not completely clear, but I know a lot happens. I mean, at least that couple.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what happens in the next one, except that I know it ends with Adam sending Jonas back to the day before his father died.
Yep.
And we're going to get the, you know, we'll fully get the reveal that it's Magnus and Francisca who are working with Adam in the future as well. So it's crazy. We're halfway through season two.
Yeah.
Eight episodes goes by very fast. So
yeah, they're definitely fitting more in these episodes than last season. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. All right. So it's time for our MVP awards. Give this out every episode. So you can go first. Who is your MVP going to?
I will give my MVP to Katarina here.
You took mine.
Yeah, I think that she is going to have a lot more to do in this upcoming season, I hope. She's kind of been an underutilized player for a lot of times. But her reaction to getting all the information, calling her, you know, calling her daughter's boyfriend, you know, her, you know, husband's Aferi's new boyfriend. Like, there's just a lot of great moments there. Mm-hmm. And her, like, reaction overall is very believable to me. And her role is important. So MVP performance for Katarina.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think Katarina would get any MVP points through this experiment. And we both wanted to give it to her, but I don't like to give it to the same person you did in the episode. So I'm going to give my MVP point to Claudia. Two episodes in a row that Claudia has gotten an MVP point. And she is getting it because she figured out how to use an iPad and use the internet and find out information about her family's future. And even though the information is going to end up having her cause her family's downfall, I still think it's just very interesting to watch her journey and watch her learn about time travel.
Yeah, that's totally respectable.
Especially during that library scene, I was thinking too, if that did happen, you know, if somebody came from 1990 and entered into the world now, like all of the things that would blow their mind. I mean, the internet wasn't even around in 1990. So just trying to explain, like, there is this network of information that you can access anything you want at any time. Oh, and it's also on like a thing that's in your pocket. Like, it just the amount of mind blowing things that they would learn. Between the last 30 years would be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Everything's taken for granted.
Yep. So, all right. So that means Jonas is still in the lead with 5 MVP points, but Mikkel, Ulrich, Alexander, Noah, Egon, and Claudia all have 2 MVP points. So it was a race. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to catch Jonas by the end of this season, but maybe by the end of the show, we'll be able to catch him.
That could be.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up episode number 4 of season 4, titled The Travelers. The next episode is titled Lost and Found. That is also the title of a Lost episode. Actually, the Lost episode is just titled And Found, but it's like implied that it's Lost and Found. So Lost and Found is going to be episode number 5. And we'll be recording that in the next day or two. So be on the lookout for that. Definitely be subscribed so you know when the next rewatch episode comes out. And we want to hear from you. We're getting close. We're halfway through season number 2. So sometime in the next week, we're going to wrap up season 2. And we're going to do this season 3 preview show where we do some Q&A. So send us your questions, your thoughts, your favorite episodes, favorite storylines, things like that. The best way to do that is on Twitter. I'm at Brooks ZA.
And I'm at Aaron JAY Brooks.
And we will see you for the next episode, episode number 5 of season 2, Lost and Found. Ooh.
See ya.